Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It is really, really good to be back. I don't know how you're feeling right now, but I got a little butterflies just then, just because it's been quite a while since I've held up the little Adderall recorder in some place like the Sydney Entertainment Center or the Sonoran Indoor Tennis Arena in Jakarta or the Mutualetti Theater in Paris, and or been on a train or a boat or in a hotel room or somewhere backstage and was communicating the heartbeat of this whole Passion World Tour. And it's strange to be home, and here Jonathan and I are in the big room in the back of the Passion House again, waiting for the DHL truck to come. And it seems a little surreal. It's the Friday before Thanksgiving, and things are slowing down definitely around the Passion House. I noticed only a few folks upstairs and not too many downstairs, and everything's coming to a halt for the holidays, and yet Jonathan and I are here to try to reconnect our podcast family, and we just wanted to say hello, happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, happy election. We had a lot changed since we got home. It's been a crazy, crazy time. First, we went around the world three times, and we came home to maybe one of the most historic elections in the history of our nation, and probably definitely the most historic election in most of our lifetimes to date, and everything is changing. In fact, a lot of you, by the way, have, a lot of you meaning four, have asked, you know, Louis, what's your take on the election? And, you know, we didn't hear you speaking into what you thought about the election. And there's a reason for that. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but I think the vote was split about, I don't really remember now, 52-48 or something like that. That's how the vote came down. And I'm definitely not afraid of taking sides, but that would mean that of those of you listening to this podcast, about half of you were pretty happy with the election, and about half of you were not all that thrilled with the outcome. And so for me to jump into the middle of that and say, well, here's what I think about the election, would mean that half of you would go, right on, Louis, man, absolutely, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. And the other half of you would go, what in the world are you talking about? How in the world? I thought we were close. I thought we were tight. Man, I'm one of the original 21 podcast listeners, and that's the way you came down on the election. So that's why, for me, I vote my conscience and my heart and use my head and stood in line like the rest of you, because I think voting is probably the greatest thing you can do in any nation on the planet besides pray for the people that you vote for. And it was an incredible day. And, you know, honestly, I don't think I cannot say this. It doesn't matter how you voted. If you didn't feel something watching what happened in Grant Park, Chicago, the night of the election, for humanity's sake, take politics out of it and just talk about the humanity of it. One of our representatives in Georgia is an older black gentleman who's well-respected in our state and has been around since the civil rights movement and beyond. And I watched him in an interview the day after the election, and he couldn't get words, and he just broke down on television. And I think what we saw was what a lot of our parents saw back in the 60s when dignity came to people. And I know that the election isn't about dignity, and elections aren't about human rights. Elections are about values and who you think should best lead and govern our nation. But it was a great moment for any country to see someone come from the background that Barack Obama's come from and be elected. And I'm happy to live in a country where that can happen. And that's politics aside, and a separate issue altogether. But here's my take on it, if you really do want my take, and I know there's one of you out there that probably does. Here's my take on the election in a nutshell. If your hope is in Barack Obama, you're in serious trouble. And if your hope was in John McCain, you're in serious trouble. And if your hope was in Bob Barr, because I know probably one of you out there voted for Bob Barr, and some of you are like, who's Bob Barr? Well, that shows maybe you didn't vote, because he was that other guy on the ballot. He's also a Georgian, by the way. We were quite representative, and one of the three choices you had was a Georgian representing the libertarians and the independent thinkers out there in the world. But if your hope was in him, you're disappointed. And if your hope's in any of these other people, at the end of the day, you're going to be disappointed. And I'm not discounting politics at all. I very much believe in the validity of the leaders that God puts in this nation. But the scripture says that God raises up rulers and he puts them down. And that's still true today as it was when it was written in the Old Testament. And my hope isn't in any one person. for the future and destiny of this nation. My hope is in the goodness of humanity, which is a reflection of the Creator who's put that goodness in our hearts. And I just trust all of us will keep rising up to that, to know that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. In Him, there is no variation, there is no changing, there is no shifting shadow. And that image is in us, and to the degree that we can grab onto it and recover it and treat our neighbors in the ways that we would want them to treat us and share the same kind of grace and mercy to the people around us that God has showed to us and lift people up, no matter what state they're in, to the place that God has created them to be in. That's what the hope of nations really is all about. And I pray that for our leaders, and I'm praying that for President-elect Obama and for everyone else who leads this nation, that we'll be able to tap into the God-given stamp of dignity and beauty that is in every single one of us, and as a nation, we'll reflect that, not only here, but to the whole wide world. That happened while we were gone, all that craziness, and frankly, I'm pretty glad we missed most of it, because I was really tired of this whole thing, and in Georgia, we're having a runoff election now, so we get one more month, I think, of he said, she said, actually, it's he said, in this case, and I'm really tired of that already, too, but we came home, we made it. It was an incredible journey. Check this out, okay? 17 cities, everybody knows that. 102,000 people at these Passion World Tour events, which is really, really incredible. Smallest one still, I think, Paris, France, and we don't say that in any way, Paris, to slight you. I really say it in a way to build you up, to lift you up for the world. Largest one still turns out to be Kampala, Uganda. 7,000 students. I don't really know exactly how many were on that field, but man, it was a beautiful sight. But in between these 17 cities, check this out, almost 6,000 people per stop on average. And that's just a beautiful thought. It's not about, you know, counting heads, because, you know, that really wasn't what the point. That wasn't the point of what we were doing. But to think that you can travel around the world and drop down in places like Tokyo and Jakarta and London and Kiev and Stockholm and have 6,000 people on average show up every time is a pretty amazing thing. And check this out. I wish I could tell you about 100 stories from the world tour, but one of them I really, really love was from Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, as you remember from the podcast we did, because of the government, we couldn't take up an offering in the building. So people came to the buckets like they would normally come to the buckets to give money. But out of the buckets, they took an envelope and they put their money in the envelope and then gave that envelope back to our volunteers again when they left the building. So it's like a three-step offering, which is not probably the easiest way to take up an offering. And I loved it because it just challenged people and that made them really want to give. They gave, by the way, if I didn't say this somewhere earlier in the earlier World Tour podcast, they gave $13,000 US that night in Hong Kong, even after having to go through those hoops to give the offering. But in the buckets at the door, when people left the building, we got some interesting things along with the envelopes with the money in them. We got a lot of handwritten notes scribbled on the back of the envelopes, which made it really cool for us. But we got this one thing, Jonathan, and I don't really know exactly what's going on here. But on one side, it's an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that looks like it's been put through a copy machine that needed toner. And it's kind of all, well, it's definitely all in Chinese. And so I can't read anything except for the phone number for this guy, which is 2388-9833. So if you're in Hong Kong and you need a service of some kind, I don't know what kind of service. It could be medical, could be plumbing, I don't know. But if you need someone, 2388-9833 is the number to call. And I can't tell. I mean, there's a guy down at the bottom here with a surgical mask on, and I don't know what he's doing. And then there's this same dude's face on both sides of the 8.5 by 11 as if it were going to be cut, possibly, and printed on both sides as a little promo flyer. But I think the guy must be in the medical profession of some kind. We're trying to figure this out right now. But it's 2388-9833 is the number to call if you're in Hong Kong, and you can ask him who he is, and then you can let us know later. That'd be fantastic. The point of it is, it was all folded up, kind of cattywampused a little bit, and on the back, on the blank back, on the other side with all the Chinese writing and advertising that's going on, is just this written in English, in somewhat broken English, and it says, "Thanks, Passion!" exclamation point. Yeah, I almost got choked up just reading this again. Through Sevens Searching, that's Sevens apostrophe S Searching, I found my faith, another exclamation point, and it's signed Zoyo, Z-O-Y-O, exclamation point again, and that was dropped in the bucket, and I just, man, that just blows me away, and I think it connects to the story that I told you when I met up with a leader the next day who was telling me that one of their students had been reading the Bible for 7 years, studying the Bible for 7 years, and Passion Hong Kong just happened to be the moment, you know, that tiny grain of sand where that student, where for Zoyo, it all clicked. And in that night, the 7 years of searching came to an end and a step was made to put their faith in Jesus. And so the simple note, through seven searching, I found my faith. And to be a part of that is pretty humbling. And to have this piece of paper as a sort of a forever representation of that is really cool. And I don't know who this dude is on the other side, but he's kind of just getting in on the story because I'm going to hang on to this for a long, long time. In fact, a lot of the folks who've given to help make this tour possible are getting a letter from us this week with some photos. One of the photos, by the way, is just of the screen in Hong Kong. And all you see on the shot are Jesus Messiah, those white letters on the black LED, and then under it, those same words in Chinese letters, I guess in Cantonese is what we were using in Hong Kong. And so some of those other images are going to be in the packet, and a copy of this is going to be in there as well, because these people that have given, I want them to see this, and I want them to hold it, I want them to know what their gifts were about and what their prayers were about. And to all of you guys out there, there's so many of you, I just want to say thank you again for helping 102,000 people around the world experience something like Zoyo experienced in some city in the world. One of you's name's Anna, and I want to read Anna's letter to you. Anna, I didn't ask your permission to do this, but it's the Passion Podcast, and we've got an international waiver on rights here, and so here goes. It says, "Dear Passion, my name is Anna." I wasn't going to actually tell you her name, but I think I just did, so sorry, Anna. Anna's not her real name. That's just a name I used to because I didn't want to tell you her real name. I'm a senior at North Georgia College and State University. I've been meaning to support Passion for a while now. However, I'm unfortunately not in a position to give much. In my family, it's always been a requirement for my siblings and I to pay our way through college. I know there was a real interesting reaction that just happened around the world, Jonathan. Some people went, yeah, tell me about it. My mom and dad, too. If you're going to go to school, you're going to pay for it and get a job. Others of you went, oh, my goodness, what would I do if I had to pay my way through college? But that's her family. Always had to pay our way through school and work while going to school and paying for rent. Unfortunately, for a while now, I've only been making just enough to pay for school, food, and gas, which has been great for my faith, as it's forced me to rely solely on the great provider. However, I believe so much in what Passion is doing, especially in the world tour, that I've always wished I could support you more. Well, this semester, I now have 3 jobs. Another shockwave just went through a few people, which means I now have at least a little saved up. And after praying about it, I couldn't think of anything that I want to support more than the Passion World Tour. Ironically, you will first be heading to Mexico City, a place that is near and dear to my heart, being that it's in Latin America, for I feel God calling me to full-time missions in Latin America, which is why I'm majoring in Spanish. Great move, Anna, by the way, on just from me to you. That sounds like a really good plan. But anyway, all that to say, I know it's certainly not very much, but I would love to put this check towards the world tour. Thank you for everything that you do at Passion. God has definitely used your ministry to impact far more lives than you could possibly imagine. I'll definitely continue to be praying for the Passion team and for the people that you'll be ministering to as you head out on this last stage of the world tour. May God be honored and glorified through everything that is said and done, all for His glory. And it's signed her real name. I won't tell you what her real name is. And so Anna attaches with this a check for $250. And I'm telling you, I don't know how to say thank you to you, Anna, on behalf of the students of Mexico City and Seoul and Hong Kong and Tokyo and these other places that we've been, to think that somebody with 3 jobs would save up enough to send $250 to this tour is pretty staggering. And I just want to say thank you on all of our behalf for that. One more, if I can. This guy says, "Dear Louis Giglio, I'm a 22-year-old recent graduate from," and he tells the school he went to, "and I'm currently living in Granada, Nicaragua. skip down to the bottom. I also want to thank you for taking up the call of Matthew 28 and going to all the nations to make disciples and reach a new generation. I was so excited when I heard that Passion was doing a 17-city world tour. For the majority of the tour, I'd been living in Honduras. Now, see, you see a theme developing here, by the way? This is really awesome. We got Anna over here who wants to be a servant of God in Latin America and is majoring in Spanish, hoping that God's going to open a door for her to be able to tell people in that part of the world about Jesus. And then we've got JD over here with this new letter, and he's presently in Nicaragua, but while the world tour was going on, most of the time he was in Honduras. So I think everybody's getting the picture here. And the picture isn't, by the way, that everybody has to be a foreign missionary, but somebody has to be, and a couple of people are being, and that's really cool. So I'd been living in Honduras, but I was constantly listening to the podcast and checking the 268 blog. Over the summer, I worked at a school and orphanage called Destino del Reino, where I spent much of my time doing manual labor by myself. I would spend countless hours repainting the classrooms of the school while listening to all the wonderful stories about the places and people you encountered. My favorite part of each podcast was hearing the shouts of jubilation from the thousands of beautiful voices in each new city. It brought me to tears almost every time. I wonder which city didn't bring him to tears. I was just kind of thinking about that when I read it. So no offense, Tokyo, but you guys didn't quite make it to tears. No, I'm only kidding. He said, it brought me to tears almost every time. And to which all of us listening to the podcast right now are going, yeah, no kidding, we're right there with you. And it was very moving to know that there were fellow believers around the world who have the same desire to make the name of Jesus famous. So he goes on to finish the letter, and then inside the letter, and I love this because this was mailed from Nicaragua, and so I'm sure this was incredibly safe to do, was five $20 bills. And they were wrapped around with another piece of paper that was, I don't know where it came from. It looks like it was just a bigger piece of paper cut with a pair of scissors so that it could wrap four times around the money, which was inside the letter, folded up. And it made it from Nicaragua to here, which is pretty incredible. And then inside the little piece of paper with handwriting, it says this, please have this money go towards the Passion World Tour. I know it's ended, but I didn't know if there was still an unpaid balance that was needed to be paid for. I knew $900,000 was needed at the beginning of the third leg, but I haven't heard an update since then because of a lack of internet where I am. If no more money is needed towards the world tour, then you can donate it to 1millioncan.com. I love you guys and the way you're wedding worship and justice, seeking to serve the least of these. And then he goes on to say something personal that wouldn't mean anything to the rest of you guys, unless you knew his mom, which I do. So, inside the letter, $100 in cash that came from Nicaragua to go toward the Passion World Tour. And so, you know, I could take this whole operation up to my office, and there's a stack of these on my desk. And, you know, people have given us hundreds of thousands of dollars for this tour, and a lot of people have sent five $20 bills in an envelope or a check for $250 from their three jobs that they have. And it's pretty incredible that the bills, we're getting down to where we've paid the bills and we know kind of what the final tally is and the cost of this tour. Are you ready for this? $5,422,000 and some change. $5.422 million is what this journey ended up costing after we were able to cut costs on every leg and save a little bit more from that bigger number that we started with. Over $1 million of that has been given by students, which is pretty phenomenal. And that's not even counting these two guys. I mean, directly from Passion 07 offering, from the offerings at Passion 05 and 06 that we had left over when we did those, remember, specific city offerings, and we had some carryover there that we started the World Tour Fund with, and then the six regional events that we did, and then the students at these 17 World Tour cities, each one giving an offering, gave $257,000 over the course of 17 World City events. And as we're sitting here on the podcast right now, starting with $5.422 million, starting leg three, needing $900,000, as JD was saying in his letter, we only need $142,000 to completely zero out the Passion World Tour Fund and completely cover all the expenses of this journey from $5.4 $1 million down to $142,000. And that, my friends, is absolutely amazing and incredible. And we just want to praise God for it and thank Him for what He's done. And you've been there for the whole journey. Our team was sitting around, and we sit around in our team meetings here at the Passion House, and we just remember back to when no one really wanted to even talk about that number because it was so off the wall. It was so crazy. But God is faithful, and God does amazing things, and it's more than the money. But I'm telling you, that in and of itself is a miraculous story, and a story that I love telling to people. And I've told a few people recently about the $257,000 that was given at the 17 events, and people just shake their heads, and they're like, that's incredible. How's that even possible? But it reminds me of this Psalm 126. And it says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion. Now, this is contextually about the Israelites being brought back home after they'd been taken away in slavery to another nation. But it also has implications for every time we trust God to do something that's beyond our own ability. And the psalmist says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. So see, the point there was that all the nations around them saw what God did. And the nations, among the nations, they said, the Lord has done great things for them. And then they said, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. So there's two things going on all the time. One of them is a watching world who's saying, man, God's doing some pretty incredible stuff for you guys. And then the second one is us in the middle of it going, yeah, God has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. And then there's this little hope and promise that comes on the backside. And as much as we've seen in this world tour, all this phenomenal stuff happened, seen so many lives change. I'm thinking about that student in Vancouver. I can't shake that guy who leaned over after Ashley's story and said to his buddy, hey, I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to find the grace of God like Ashley did. And they go out in the concourse at GM Place. They pray. He leads his friend to faith in Jesus. They come back in for the last part of the night, now as not just friends, but as brothers in Christ, and they celebrate the rest of the night together. I'm just thinking about that guy today, wherever he is in Vancouver. I'm thinking about Zoyo and wherever she is in Hong Kong today, carrying around the Spirit of God in her, and students like them all over the world, and exponential stuff that's happened that none of us will ever know. And in that, we say, we are filled with joy, and the Lord has done great things for us, but there's always still that prayer and that hope of what can be and what's going to be as a result of this tour. And so the psalmist says, restore our fortunes, O Lord. That means we're back, but we don't have everything back yet. We're back where we belong, but we don't have everything back yet. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. For those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. That means a harvest, bringing a harvest back with him. And so to people like Anna who want to be missionaries in Latin America, and to those of you who are listening to this as servants of God in some place in the world, hear that today over your life. You're out there, you're sowing in tears, but you're going to reap in shouts of joy. You're going out with your seed to sow, but you're going to come back with this huge harvest in your hands, because that's what God does, and it's what He's done for us in this world tour. And I just want to praise Him. I don't want us to move past in this podcast and just say, wow, we did it. You know, 3 months of travel, I added it up for Shelly and me. It was 28 flights for a few people that were in every city. It was a couple more because they had to go a different leg here or there. But for Shelly and me and for most of our core team, 28 flights. And we're not talking about flying from here to, you know, Chattanooga. We're talking about some massive flights. 3 months of our lives, 16 nations, 17 cities, 100 plus thousand people, all this production that had to happen, venues that had to be secured, hotels, logistics, networking, building friends, telling the story, paying the bills, actually doing the events themselves, praying the prayers, believing God, raising up people who would grab onto this thing and put their heart and their money behind it so that it could become a reality. And after all of that, in that whole journey. I want us just to pause today, and I want us to say, God, you have done great things for us. And I know a lot of you are like, I didn't get to go to one of the cities, but I feel like I did. You've told us that on the blog. You've emailed us. You've written us and said, I wasn't there, but I feel like I was a part of it. And you were. And I want us just to praise God. And we're going to just have a little bit of David Crowder's No One Like You. And I just, if you're alone, some of you are out there running around the high school stadium with your little iPod on, you can probably just do a little dance right there and nobody will really know what's going on. If you're driving in your car, there should be some hands raised in cars around this world. If you're sitting in your dorm room and your roommate's asleep over there, don't shout really loud, but you can, you know, do that shout where you don't make any noise, but you still shout and your mouth's real open and your hands are kind of going, you're pumping your fist and you're like, yes. But I want us to praise God together wherever we are right now, all over this planet right now. I just want us to say, thank you, God. You are a great, awesome God, and you've done it. We dreamed it because of your vision. We went for it because we believed in you. We all sat in the Phillips Arena and the World Congress Center together on January and a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, and we said, all right, God, we believe in this thing, and now we've seen it become a reality. Our dream is awesome history now, and I just want us to praise God. So here's a little music to help the process if you need it. Go crazy wherever you are and give thanks to God who's done something phenomenal. And Anna, thank you. JD, thank you. To those of you who have given great and small, thank you. To those of you who are going to help us with this $142,000 that's going to finish this thing off, and I know that's going to happen, thank you. To every team leader who sacrificed, thank you. Every volunteer who came along, to our team, our bands, to everybody who made this work, thank you. But to God, we say, be praised today. To God, we say, you are awesome, and there is none like you. And so we're just going to celebrate that and share that together. Go for it, and let's give God thanks.
More beautiful than anyone ever. Every day you're the same, you never change, no, never. You were more beautiful than anyone ever. Every day you're the same, you never change, no, never. If I could I ever deny the love of my Savior, you brought to me everything, all I need forever. How could you be so good? There is no one like you. There has never, ever been anyone like you. You're so astounding. How could you be so good to me? Eternally, I believe.
We're back, and I hope you're out of breath in some way. If you're not, then you didn't celebrate hard enough, and you need to rewind the podcast and give it a second shot. Before we get away today, and before we head into Thanksgiving, and by the way, as you know, I have this joy of frying turkeys for Thanksgiving, and I'm planning on doing that, Lord willing, next week in Texas. We're going to fry a couple up. But if you've never fried a turkey for Thanksgiving, it's very simple. Just Google fried turkey. I'm sure there's somewhere online that's going to tell you how to do it. You just go down to Walmart, you buy you a turkey fryer, you go buy a turkey, you weigh it up, you put the water in there, you figure out how much water you need, then you put the oil in there, you heat the thing up, you put the turkey in there, and I'm telling you, it'll change your world. It also will create other kinds of fun environments. Some of you will catch the deck on fire. Others of you will ruin a very good and normal pair of shoes that you've enjoyed. And some of you will set off smoke alarms. By the way, do not fry a turkey indoors. That is the number one thing that you will see on any turkey frying website of that's worth anything. It will say, do not fry a turkey indoors. We froed a couple of turkeys indoors. We fried a couple of turkeys indoors at 722 back in the day, but it was a very large room, and we checked it out ahead of time. And we actually did have a few issues on one of the last times. I won't get into that. But happy Thanksgiving. Fry a turkey. You'll enjoy it. Personally, I would put a lot of Cajun spices on the outside. This is the secret to frying a turkey. If you don't like spicy food, then just ignore what I'm telling you right now. If you're from another country and you don't celebrate Thanksgiving because you didn't have pilgrims who came away from that little tiny island nation of England to set up the greatest nation on the planet, no offense to you England friends, that was only for Matt Redman, who, by the way, has a new little American son. That's very cool. You know, Matt and Beth moved to Atlanta to help us with Passion Church, and they've given birth to a precious little boy a few weeks ago, and I guess he's got dual citizenship, but that doesn't really matter. When you got American citizenship, it doesn't really matter what else you got. Doesn't that sound so, like, Western for me to be saying that? All you people around the world are being so offended right now. I'm only kidding. But if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, forget all this. But for those of you who do, and you like spicy food, cake the turkey with Cajun spices before you put it in the fryer. Like, I mean, cake it on, and then when you drop it in there, if the oil is the right temperature, it'll crustify all the spices and glaze them over and seal them onto the turkey, and then when you slice it a little bit later, you'll have that little extra outer ring of Cajun spice, and you shoot it up with all kinds of good things like garlic and butter and other kinds of spices. I'm getting excited thinking about it, but happy Thanksgiving if you celebrate Thanksgiving. If you don't, you know, happy next week. It's going to be a fantastic Thursday. A couple things really quickly before we go. I just want to refocus our hearts on 1 Million Can. We've sort of did a soft launch back in Joburg in Cape Town, those of you who were there, and through our blog, and that's about it. It's not even on our main Passion website right now, but it's going to be a pretty central part of Chris's tour this spring out when he goes out with Israel on the Hello Love tour. And it's going to be a much more visible part of Passion's journey all through 2009, and you're going to see it just about everywhere we go. But I just want to keep you updated. We're fired up about it, and we're presently up to the second. We're up to $266,934 have been given, and most of you know we started with $224,000, which was given towards wells at the 6 regional events. So you can do the math and see how much money's been given above that since we started. Honestly, I'm excited about that because we were able to do a few things. There's enough money almost to do 5 life-altering surgeries, so that's 5 kids' lives would be changed if we stopped right now. There's enough money has been given to build 2 wells, and so that's 2 additional ones to the ones that were already in the 224,000. So that's amazing. If we stopped right now, we've done some really cool things, but we have a long way to go. We're shooting for $1 million. And you don't have to just give one time. And I know a lot of you don't have a ton of money, but you can do $5 a month and come back and pick another cause, or $10 a month, or $10 every 2 months or every 3 months, just to stay connected to the journey. But a couple things I want to encourage you to do, and I want to tell you just an unbelievable story. But I noticed by a few folks I've seen on Facebook that someone did start a Beliefs and Causes for 1millioncan.com. I think it has about 639, Jonathan's telling me approximately 639 members at this point. And I'd love to see that be a couple thousand more over the next few weeks. And so if you're listening to the podcast, and by the way, we were going to divulge our listenership on this podcast, and we're going to save that to the very end today and let you know exactly how many of you are out there. I know that's a big concern for a lot of you. I've been keeping you awake at night, so we're going to tell you that at the end of the podcast, potentially. But we should have a lot more people involved in this 1 Million Can thing based on our podcast audience. And so I want you to go on Facebook to the Beliefs and Causes, and I want you to join it. That means when people come to see your page, they'll see that as one of your beliefs and causes, and they might go, hey, what's 1millioncan.com? And they'll click over there and figure out what's going on. We're going to put a little icon on there for Facebook that you can plop into your Facebook page so that people can see that visually. And then if you want other banners for MySpace or other kinds of blog posts or any other applications that you've got online, all you have to do is go to 1millioncan.com, click on our story. Under our story, there's a little button that says share. And when you click on share, you can download the code for a couple of different kinds of banners and icons that you can put different places. But I just want you to be on the front end of this with us, because there's going to be a story to be told here as well. And I don't know how long it's going to take us to tell that story, but there's going to be a point where that number rolls over from $999,999, and it's going to roll over to $1 million, and there's going to be a huge party, and it's going to be a big story. I mean, I would expect that we're going to celebrate in a massive way before we reset it for the next million. And you're just going to want to be a part of that. And I know some of you say, well, I gave $15 or I gave $20 or whatever. And I'm like, that's incredible. Thank you. But I want you to really help us push the idea outward. And one of the really cool things that happened just a few days ago, in fact, we got an email from a friend of ours named Christopher Stoke. And Christopher, if you're listening out there, I'm sorry I haven't shot you an email back before this went on the podcast, but things have been a little bit crazy in my world for the last couple of weeks. But Christopher is a friend of ours from Norway. He's a young guy who leads a movement there called Get Focused. And Christopher is probably one of the leading voices among Christian young people in Norway and in Scandinavia, for that matter. And he just has a huge favor of God on his life and a lot of influence. And we got connected with him in some cool ways, and he's been to Passion events here at the States. He was at Passion London and brought students from Norway down to Passion London when we were there back in the summer. But he just had his event, Get Focused 08, just a few weeks ago. In fact, it finished Sunday a week ago, I think. Incredible weekend event. They had 1,500 youth there, which is really, really cool. I mean, just think about that. This guy's got this vision going, has this event in Norway, 1,500 young people show up. And Christopher really, I know it was already in his heart, but he's really bought into the whole idea of do something now. And so they wanted to participate and put some things together. And so one of the things they did was to work with a local project organized by the Salvation Army. And their goal was to provide sandwiches and food for 2,000 drug addicts in the city. And that was going to cost them $6,000 U.S. To do that. And they did that. And then globally, they wanted to connect with two causes. Check this out. We wanted to partner with a water project through 1 Million Can. So they wanted to come alongside of what we're doing to build these wells. And their goal was to build two wells for a total of $8,500 U.S. So they got 1,500 teenagers there, young people. And they're already going to do 6,000 to feed these or provide food for these drug addicts. They want 8,500 for these wells. And then also we challenged the youth to adopt one girl captured in the sex trade in India. So they'd gone and done the math on 1 Million Can and figured out how we were trying through the Sari Bari Project to provide freedom for X number of women. And then they broke that number down and to figure out how much it meant for one woman to gain freedom from the sex industry in India at a cost of $6,500. And so they were going to try to raise $21,000 from 1,500 young people. Are you guys getting this? This is what Passion has been about. This is what we want to be about. We want to say, don't undercut the potential of a person's heart when they really see what God is doing in the world. And so out of 1,500 young people, which most people would have thought is crazy, Christopher is putting $21,000 worth of world causes in front of them. And so then he says, well, the kids went beyond that, our imagination, and here's what's going to happen as a result of that. They're going to be sending, they doubled that amount. So when you take out what they're going to do for the drug addicts that they were trying to provide food for, they're sending $30,000 U.S., to us for 1millioncan.com. $30,000 is coming from 1,500 young people in Norway to help with releasing women and their families, their kids from sex slavery in India, and building wells to provide a future for villages and especially for children in Africa. And Christopher, I just want to say thank you, man. You have such favor on your life, and you know I've said that to you face to face, so I'm not telling you anything that I haven't already said to you, but there's so much favor on your life, and God is using you in such a powerful way all through Scandinavia. And I know there's an incredible future ahead of you, but for coming alongside of our project in this way is just phenomenal. And I'm looking at this little widget on my desktop, which says we have $266,934 and 1 million can. And I know that number is going up pretty soon when this wire arrives to $296,934. And probably before that wire comes through, a few other gifts will come. So we'll hit that $300,000 mark towards our $1 million goal. And that's just incredible. So anybody that wants to know more about what's going on, I'm sure you can search online and find Get Focused in Norway and get plugged in and get involved if you're in that part of the world. But that's just an incredible thing. And going back to JD's letter, I miss, too, having that moment where we hold up the little recorder. And so I thought about just holding it up back here and having Jonathan and I cheer as loud as we could and say, is there anybody in the back room at the Passion House who really is passionate for making Jesus famous in this generation, who gets it like Christopher has gotten it for not only his country, but for the young people and the future of his country? But I don't think that would really impress anybody, and I'm pretty sure it wouldn't bring anybody to tears except for the two of us, probably. So as we go out to this little break, I'm going to give us a flashback to Kampala, Uganda, the heart of Africa. 6,000 university students flooded onto the sports field at Makerere University. Just a beautiful, beautiful picture. Just as far as you could see, looking back into this night, of hands just raised to God, a generation ready for God, ready to embrace the plans of God. And then we asked them how they were feeling about being a part of what God wanted to do to make His Son famous in this generation. And so if you've been missing that roar, here's Kampala, Uganda, Passion Kampala. And this is just a little taste of what we experienced all the way on this journey. I'll be back right after this.
This is me, of course. I'm standing on the stage at Passion Kampala. I'm looking out at a sea of the most beautiful faces you have ever seen in your life. And we have had an amazing time here. I have to tell you, they're still holding up the sign out here in the middle of the people. We're talking about going to Paris, and up came 7 posters. And they say, the first one says Passion on it. The next one's a P, an A, an R with a Yes, Lord in it. An I and an S. There's some other things written on there. Yes, Master is on there. And then June 3rd, they are all about supporting us as we go to Paris, which is a really beautiful sight. But the question that I think our podcast listeners want to know, and we would love to have Kampala represented on our podcast, it's going to be heard by people in America, in South America, in Asia, in Australia, all over Europe, and in Africa. And so the question is this that we're wondering tonight, and I think I know the answer already because I've been here for a day already. But the question is there a generation of students in this city and in this nation who really, truly, in word and in deed, want to live their lives to make Jesus famous in this generation? That's the question.
So thanks for being with us on the Passion Podcast. That's a pretty amazing sound and brings back a whole lot of memories for me. And I know a lot of you guys that are listening, anybody listening from Kampala today, we just want to say we'll never forget that weekend that we had with you, nor any of the other weekends. But, you know, go for it. I know that there are events happening this fall to unify people in the city of Kampala. I know that there was one in late September or October on a Sunday night that was drawing students back together. Be a part of that and keep that spirit alive. It doesn't take passion to make that happen. The Holy Spirit is who makes that happen, and He is there, and He is with you right this moment, right where you are. Couple things coming up before we get out of here today, just so that you'll know what's going on. There is not going to be a Passion event in 2009 in the United States. A lot of you were kind of confused when we said on our website that during the school year that there isn't going to be an event. So a lot of people were like, well, what about the fall of next year? How about an event then? Well, our next event, if you haven't heard, it's going to be Passion 2010. That sounds kind of futuristic, and it is. But it's not too far away from now. In fact, it's only 13 months from now. And to a college student or a university student, I know 13 months is near an eternity. But to folks like us who plan events for people like you, 13 months is about 45 minutes, and it's really, really soon. But Passion 2010 is going to be back here in Atlanta starting on January the 2nd, 2010. Going to be back at Phillips Arena in the World Congress Center. And it's going to be an incredible time, 4 days together. And by the way, I hope now that we've been to 17 cities around the world that a lot of you guys from around the world will come. I know 102,000 of you aren't going to come, and if you did, there wouldn't be room for you anyway. But I hope more than 10 or 20 or 30 or 100 or 200 or 300 of you come. I hope thousands of you guys from Mexico City and Seoul and Jakarta and Cape Town and London and Kiev will find your way to Atlanta next January and truly make this a picture of what Passion has been over the last few years. But for anybody in North America, you need to put the date down. Registration is going to open on February the 16th. You'll be hearing about it hopefully before the end of the year. We're working on our identity and all that stuff is being wrapped up right now, but we're downshifting a little bit as we wind down to the end of the year because of the year that we've had here. And by the way, some of you are like, what's the deal with Shelley's back? Well, Shelley is home. Thank you for praying us home. That was an incredible journey in and of itself. She's gotten under the care of a really great doctor here, and she's doing a lot better. She's not at 100% yet, but at least she's up and around, and we just keep praying that it's going to heal without having any more radical surgery or any more radical treatment. So just pray for rest, for restoration and healing. And would you just pray that over our whole team? I don't want to really get into a lot of the details of it, but we've had a lot of hits since we've gotten home. And personally, I've kind of been knocked back with a couple of health things as well. And our whole team's just feeling the weight of doing 6 events in America and 17 events around the world, plus everything we squeezed in between, plus all the albums we released, plus, you know, this time last year I was on tour with Chris Tomlin doing 14 dates of the How Great Is Our God tour part 2 after having a kidney stone. I mean, that was just last year. Right now we were somewhere, you know, in a city in America doing the How Great Is Our God tour. It's been a lot of stuff in a year, and we're just trying to get ready for next year. We're going to be doing a few world tour dates in May, as I mentioned to you. It looks like we're going to be back in 4 cities in May, so that means 13 cities are going to be disappointed. So I'm sorry that that's the way it breaks down, but we're just excited to squeeze 4 more in. We probably, honestly, shouldn't squeeze any in, given that we're launching a church here in Atlanta and we're planning Passion 2010, which takes a whole lot longer than 13 months for us to get ready for. But we just couldn't not come back. We love you guys around the world so much, and we have invested so much, and we believe so much in what God has done. And so we'll be back in 4 cities, Lord willing, in late May and early June, and we'll be telling you what cities those are in the coming weeks or maybe a month or so. But for now, you need to put on your calendar February 16th. That's the day it looks like registration is going to open for Passion 2010. We got a little special thing planned for that I'll tell you about a little bit later in a couple of weeks or so from now. But February 16th is going to be the first day, and I can just tell you right now, and it's not a sales push from our end, but there's only so many people we can fit in Phillips in the World Congress Center, and you want to be a part of what God's going to do, and you want to be on it from the very beginning, so you need to get ready for that. Passion Church, some of you are saying, what's going on with the church? Our core team is meeting, we're planning, we're praying, we're seeking God, we're going to try to do a few visible and public things for anybody in the mid to late spring next year. But for now, we're just taking it at God's time. And because the whole world's watching us, there's sort of pressure sometimes as to what should happen or what's got to happen. But the only thing that really needs to happen is that we need to hear the voice of God and follow the voice of God step by step. And that's what we're doing right now. And we're preparing, laying that foundation, building on that foundation that God has already put in place. We're not in a hurry, because why would you be in a hurry when you know that God has already laid a sure foundation and put a beautiful, tried, and tested cornerstone in place? Then why would you be in a hurry? And so we're waiting on Him, but we're still excited. It's going to happen by the grace of God, and you'll be the first people to know when the first thing about it there is to know is to know. So thanks for being with us today. It's just great to be back with you. For all you guys that are traveling, safe travels, happy times with your family. Enjoy it. Soak it up. Be kind to one another. I know for some of you, that's incredible joy. For some of you, it's phenomenal stress to be back in the house with various family people. But let's just believe God for great things. Let's live in that grace we've been talking about. And watch on the 25th of November, should hit stores around America, Jonathan, and that's Fruitcake and Ice Cream, the talk coming out on the Passion Talk series, and the same tradition is Indescribable, How Great Is Our God, and Hope When Life Hurts Most. It should land at the Family Christian Store or Lifeway or Mardell or hopefully wherever you buy your Christian resources. I'm getting kind of a funny look from somebody in the room, maybe Jonathan. So we're not really sure where it's going to all be, but we hope it will be somewhere. You can always get it at Amazon or 268store.com. That's probably what we prefer you to do anyway, because that just saves you time, and then you'd be part of the internet revolution. Wouldn't that be awesome? And it'll get to you faster. But go to Lifeway, go to Family Christian Store and ask for it. It's the story of Ashley from her journal, and it's a talk that I gave at North Point Community Church the last time I spoke there back in the summer. And so it's not that same talk from the world tour each night, because that talk kind of felt different in every city, but it's generally that same message from 2 Corinthians 5. And all of Ashley's journal is read. So if you've been wanting to share that with somebody and you've been wanting somebody to go, you got to hear this girl's journal, it's all there on Fruitcake and Ice Cream. There's a bonus CD with it, which is kind of cool. We recorded Chris singing Mighty to Save in Mexico City, because we wanted to put Mighty to Save in there with it, since it's such an important part of Ashley's story. And we hadn't recorded that song anywhere, and so we recorded it in Mexico City with the students of Mexico singing along, and that's on the disc, as well as some songs from the other Six Steps guys as well. So Fruitcake and Ice Cream should hit stores on November 25th, so that's next Tuesday. So that might be a cool thing if you're headed somewhere for Thanksgiving and you got somebody that you'd love to hear a story about the grace of God. You might pick that up, take it, and share it with one of your family, friends, or relatives. Be a really cool thing. So that's it for us. Sorry so long on the podcast, but it's been a while since we've been together. Happy times. We're back together again. Hopefully it won't be quite so long before we're back with you on the Passion Podcast. But please pray for us. I know the world tour is over, but almost maybe more now than then, our team needs your prayers, and we would really treasure that. I know that we're praying for you, cheering you on. God is great, and the same thing He's done on this tour, He can do in every area of our lives. So let's believe Him for that, and let's believe Him for great things. Anna, thank you so much. Se habla español. Gracias, muchas gracias para tú. And to JD, you're out there, a double for you. And wherever you are in Nicaragua today, I hope the podcast finds you, but based on your letter, it might not. But thank you so much. And to every one of you, thank you as well. Let's all pray for Zoyo today. I don't know how to actually say this person's name, but Z-O-Y-O sounds like Zoyo to me. Let's pray for him or her. Do you think that's a guy or a girl's handwriting? Not sure. I think it's a girl. I think it's a girl because he said it was a girl. So I think it's a girl. So let's pray for her and for all the people like her in the world today. We'll see you soon. Happy Thanksgiving. It's great being back with you. Take care.